is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner. Today I'm speaking with award-winning Catholic author and columnist Laura Fanucci. You can find Laura's writing on the OSV News Service, America Magazine, and U.S. Catholic, and she writes devotionals for Encourage and Give Us This Day. Laura writes essays on spirituality on her Substack, The Holy Labor, and offers reflections on surviving cancer on another one called The Compassion Brigade. She has authored many books, including Everyday Sacrament, The Messy Grace of Parenting, and Grieving Together, A Couple's Journey Through Miscarriage. She and her husband live in Minnesota with their children. Laura, I'm so excited to welcome you to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
It's such a joy to be with you today. Thank you so much for having me.
So I've been reading your work for years, and I know that you love these moments of transition and change. And here we are, heading into 2026. How do you feel that starting a new year is a chance to do something different in your faith too?
Love that question. I think the new year always offers us a chance to step back and ask how we're living. I mean, any kind of moment of transition from one year to the next, from one liturgical season to the next, is always a chance, I think, to ask where we are in our relationship with God and where we hope to be. So I know many people don't love New Year's. Many people in my home don't love New Year's, but I love it because I think it's that very chance to step back and look at what the whole past year was, what we went through, what we learned, where we found God, and then to look ahead to the new year and reflect and pray about where we hope we might find God going forward and the ways we hope to grow and maybe we want to change in certain areas. So I think any opportunity we get, like when we go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and we get to reflect on our lives and where we need to change and grow, any chance we get to do that, I think is a really important moment in the spiritual life. So even if people don't love New Year's, I think it is always a chance to take a moment to check in with ourselves and check in with God and ask how we're living.
I love that. I love that importance of reflection, which I see in your writing and in many great writers. And thinking about where we were at the beginning of 2025, we had even a different pope in that moment, even a different president of our country. A lot has happened. A lot has changed, not just to ourselves, but to the world. And so I love that idea of sitting back and thinking about where am I with God in this moment.
Well, that's beautiful. Isn't that a great reminder, too, that we never know what a year will bring? I really hadn't thought about those two big changes in leadership together till you said that. And we sometimes have our plans or our hopes for the year, and we make these resolutions, and whether or not we stick, you know, think we're going to stick to them. But every year there's good and bad that comes to us that's unexpected. So, yeah, we have, I don't know that that has to be a point of anxiety for us so much as saying, can we ready ourselves to welcome what will come, trusting that God will be with us through all of it? You know, that there's no way we can control or plan out what a year will bring, even if we have these brand new, beautiful calendars in our home, right, that aren't marked up at all. It's a moment to pray, you know, for the wisdom and the strength and the courage to see through whatever this year will bring to us. So, yeah, that's a lovely perspective. Thanks for that.
Well, I love hearing you speak through this and about times of change and how we can prepare. Are you someone who picks a word for the year or a phrase for the year or a family goal or a hope? How do you approach a new year?
Yes, I have taken up the habit of choosing a word for the year, which probably isn't surprising for a writer. I love words. I could hang out with them always, but I have tried, you know, I know sometimes people will use these word of the year generators and you can pick one online and just get it serendipitously, or people will really have a word that they want to choose to focus on. And I have started sort of praying to be open to it, but noticing what word God wants for me, which honestly, oh, like
Uh-oh.
is great. And also, I don't know. My word for this year, which I still don't love, was discipline. And it kept showing up
Ooh.
in my prayer early in the year. And I was like, God, I do not love discipline. I am not a person that wakes up at 5 in the morning to go work out. I'm not a super strict type A, love my scheduling. Like, I do not want discipline. Lord, I don't, yeah, take this word away from me. But as I was reflecting on it and praying with it and trying to grapple with what God was trying to teach me in that word this year, I learned that it means, that word means learning. That word has to do with listening. It's a beautiful line of scripture that I don't think I'd ever heard in that way. You know, when you're like at mass and you hear a line and you think, was that in the Bible all along? Because I think this is the first time I've heard it. And
Right.
there's a beautiful line about how discipline is the beginning of wisdom. And I thought, well, dang, like I want to be a wise person. I want to grow in wisdom. And discipline and being a listener and a follower of Christ, that's the way of wisdom. So I don't know. I am far from done with discipline. I think I have to probably make it my word of the decade. But yeah, it was, so it's a
Right.
fun one. I do like having a word that I hang on to through the year.
Yeah, I love that too. And are you thinking now and thinking in prayer with God about what your next one might be? We're a little bit ahead of the new year on this call, so perhaps not, but I wonder what he'll reveal to
I too wonder that, and I maybe with
you.
fear and trembling, yeah, starting to pray through it. I don't think I found it yet. So, and it's not like it always arrives to me January 1, but I would say sometime in that first month of the year, if I haven't heard the inklings of it during Advent, it'll find me in January. So, yeah, it's probably waiting around the corner, just biding its time, waiting to jump out at me. So we'll see what it holds. Yeah.
Do you choose a saint of the year or like a prayer you take on? Is there anything spiritually you try intentionally to do going into a new year or not so much?
That's a great question. Okay, back to those word of the year generators. I do always do Jen Fulweiler's Saint of the Year generator, and I faithfully screenshot it and think this will be my new spiritual friend. And then by February, I have forgotten it. So I would love to. I think it's a fantastic idea. No, I have not done that, but I have had years where I really have learned a lot from the practice of trying to memorize scripture. It's not something I grew up with. It's not something I think a lot of Catholics do. I have Protestant friends who are so good at it. And I have a couple friends who are really close to monastic communities that do, the Liturgy of the Hours, and through that have learned, kind of the key prayers of the church's Liturgy of the Hours and have that memorized. And I just thought that was so cool that I kind of got jealous and wanted to do it too. So I had one year where I wanted to memorize, Zechariah's, the prayer that we pray in the morning, the Canticle of Zechariah. So I did memorize that one year. I'm a slow learner on memorizing. So that was a really good practice to have that in my ears for a long time, trying to work on that every morning. And then I wanted Mary's Magnificat. After that, I thought, well, I got to bookend the day. If I'm going to have Zechariah, I need her canticle too. So that has been a really good practice for me. And now that we're talking about it, I think, ooh, maybe there's another. There's so many beautiful like canticles in scripture. And maybe I've actually been thinking a lot about the Song of Hannah, which isn't one that we pray a lot, but Mary's Magnificat is really draws a lot from that. And so maybe there's my nudge to think about, maybe there's another prayer of that, strong and faithful woman in scripture, a mother who, went through some of the ch same challenges of, infertility and struggles around family that have been a part of my family's history. So maybe that, yeah, maybe you're helping me to see that I gotta sit with Hannah this year and sing about what she showed us to pray about. Yeah.
I need to look that one up. Maybe I should add
Yeah.
that. I haven't taken anything like that on as something to learn. I love the idea of memorizing biblical verses and things like that for the year. That's a really neat approach.
Yeah.
I'm getting some ideas myself here. So
Good. I love it. Yeah.
So you've shared publicly and powerfully about your cancer journey, and I would love to hear how that experience gives you a different lens as you start a new year, and maybe how might our listeners take a difficult experience like that and use it to frame moving forward into a new beginning?
Oh, I tell you, I think that cancer and any kind of serious diagnosis or health challenge has this way of just clarifying things in your life so quickly. I feel like it put these glasses, these new lenses on my life, and I could just see exactly what mattered and what didn't. You know, so many things about my work and things I wanted to do fell away, and I thought, oh God, I just want to stay here for my family. I want to be here for my kids. I want to be here for my spouse. That was just always my prayer through cancer. And so, you know, as I'm turning into a new year, yeah, I think I carry my mortality and my fragility so close in my heart, but I also am always reminding myself to carry my healing too, and to carry a deep gratitude and trust in what God has done in my life to say, okay, that was a really scary, hard thing I went through, and now I'm here and I don't have cancer in my body to the best of my knowledge.
Right.
And so how can I live differently? And I tell you, I do actually, I feel like the gratitude and gosh, it's hard to say the gifts of cancer because I just don't want to say that, but there are ways in which the struggles we go through do reveal a depth of meaning in our lives that we might not have had before. And I feel that so much just in everyday moments with my kids. I mean, I think I hug them extra tight and I think, I'm so glad I'm here, God. Like, thank you for letting me stay here with them and just have this ordinary, the ups and downs of our days. I'm so glad to still be here. So coming into a new year feels like that too. You know, there were moments at the beginning of my diagnosis when you're waiting to hear about the staging of your cancer and you don't know if they're going to tell you, yeah, you've got months or weeks. You like those stories are among us and we've all lost people we love to those kinds of diagnoses. And you know, to get the chance to still be here, I feel like every morning still feels like such a gift and like a second chance to say, okay, I'm still here. Like, what do you want from me, God? And how can I give my life back in service to you and your people for what you've done for me? Yeah, so I am kind of the mom who's always hugging everybody and my kids. I probably get tired of it, but I don't care. I don't care.
Love it. I love it. Our guest today is Laura Fenucci. I'm Rita Bittner, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a moment.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The downtown Baltimore campus of the former Institute of Notre Dame has officially been sold according to the religious order that founded the school. The School Sisters of Notre Dame announced the sale in a December 23rd news release. The Catholic Girls' School, founded in 1847, educated generations of Baltimore women before closing in 2020 due to declining enrollment, the impact of COVID-19, and the cost of maintaining its aging campus. The property will continue to house the Caroline Center, a sister-sponsored ministry that provides education and career training for women, along with more than 100 affordable senior housing units operated by Severn Development and CAM Management. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. The Archdiocese of Prague has welcomed plans to build a new parish church in the Czech Republic using 3D printing technology, a method architects say will significantly reduce cost while allowing for advanced decorative and acoustic design. Plans for the Holy Trinity Church have been underway since the fall of 2024 in Neratovice, a central industrial town founded under communism in the 1950s without a church. Designers say most of the structure will be assembled from more than 500 computer-generated concrete blocks, creating wave-like patterns that also serve as acoustic features. Parish officials say the church will provide a long-missing focal point in the factory town, whose skyline is dominated by chimneys and prefabricated buildings. About 9% of the Czech Republic's 10.6 million people identify as Catholic, according to the 2021 census. That reflects a sharp decline in religious affiliation since the 1989 Velvet Revolution and the fall of communism. For more on this and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matusek.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path, one that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology. Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner, and we're talking with author and columnist Lara Finucci. Lara, I was hoping we could take a moment to remember your twin daughters, Maggie and Abby, who passed away shortly after their birth in 2016. You wrote about them at that time, and their story provided such a powerful faith moment for me, and I'm sure for so many. I'm still in awe of the joy and peace you discovered as you were holding Abby in the last hours of her time on earth. As you look ahead to this year, could you share with us a little bit about how your daughters are part of not just your past, but your present and the year ahead?
I love that. It's amazing to me, kind of unbelievable that this is the year of their 10th birthday. Right. I cannot believe it has been a decade since they were born and went home to God. And just this morning, it's funny you ask that, because just this morning on the drive to school, we do a prayer with our younger kids that we still drive to school, where we go through everybody's name in the family. And we always include Maggie and Abby. And I have this moment some mornings where I think, I love this part of the day. I love hearing their names with all the rest of my kids. I love that even the little ones in our family who were not yet born when Maggie and Abby were here have just accepted them as part of our family. And I think one of their enduring legacies for me has been the way that they have taught me how thin that veil between here and heaven is, because they have taught me how the presence of our beloved dead is really so much closer than we think. You know, it can feel like the ones we love who have died are so far from us because they're not in our daily life, in our daily conversations. But I think the beauty and the power of the communion of saints is that in that mystical, mysterious way, you know, if the ones that we love are with God and God is with us, then somehow those ones that we love who have gone on, they are with us still too. And I think about that at Mass sometimes. I think, my gosh, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing at the Eucharist, and so are all of the faithful departed. And so I think, you know, if I could look back to the grieving mother I was a decade ago, I hope she would find strength and hope to know that, you know, Maggie and Abby are still a part of our family's everyday life. And to know that I still miss them every day, like nothing is made right. I still would give anything to have them here. But that a big, beautiful life has also grown up around that grief brings me great joy. And I think sometimes, gosh, with every passing year, in some ways I could say I'm farther from that experience of having them in my arms, but I'm also a year closer to being with them again, I hope and pray. So yeah, that's the mystery of love, I guess.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that and for sharing them with your readers. And I feel like as we're entering a new year, I'm thinking a little bit about who did I lose over the past year. And so hearing you speak, I was going to ask you what kind of consolation you might be able to offer, but you already did so beautifully speak to those people we may have lost in the past year and how we carry them with us into the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
So beautiful. You've written a lot about grief and loss, areas I sometimes think aren't discussed enough in writing, and I'm so grateful for that with you. And sometimes when we begin a new year, I hear a lot of good riddance, can't wait to leave this year behind. Thank goodness we're closing the book on that one. But I also think that there are people and there and all of us in a little bit of a way grieve the end of a year and have some sadness about the fact that time has passed. What are some ways you feel like we could name that grief and maybe carry it into the new year with us or try to leave it behind? Just what are your thoughts on that tension that we live with as we go into a new year?
What a great question. One of our family practices, which is forced upon my beloveds by me because I love New Year's, is that on New Year's Eve, we write out questions that can either be about the past year or the year coming forward. Like, what was your favorite movie this year? What was your favorite book? What was your favorite, like, vacation thing that we did? And then what do you hope, we might do in the new year? And I think that has always helped me to say, oh, there were really good things in this year. Sometimes when we've had a really hard year as a family, I think that practice has helped me to see, oh my gosh, there were still things we did that brought the kids so much joy and that brought me joy. Like, I can't forget about that just because I kind of have this doom and gloom cloud over my head about what's hard right now. So I think those practices of saying, there were really hard things about this year and there were really good things. We can't lose that. And then turning ahead to say, I can say honestly that my New Year's resolutions are always like, help me do this great thing, Lord. Help me become an even shinier star. But maybe a really good prayer to carry into the new year would say, God, there's going to be really hard things ahead. And I pray that you can prepare my heart for them and sustain me through that so that I don't feel, blindsided by that, because every year is going to bring its ups and downs. But if I can see that, you, Lord, held this whole year together for us, the good and the bad, then I can trust that the next will be the same. There are things I will really miss from this past year that were so beautiful, and my kids will never be this young again, right? But then I also think, gosh, like, my kids will never be this exact age again, and I get to still be here. I didn't know if I would make it to this age. So that's great too. And I think, yeah, having that looking in both directions, I think can help us this time of year.
I love how you talk about seeing both sides. I think that's how you the phrase you use. And it is kind of a both and at this point in our lives as we enter this new year together. I wanted to ask you for ideas on ways parents can approach this time with their growing children to help them see how to grow spiritually and personally. And you touched a little bit on that, but are there other thoughts you have as a parent? We journey on our own, but we journey with these young people who are still figuring out who they are and where they want to be. Are there thoughts you have around how to help them through realize the opportunity in a new year, and kind of walk that with them?
Well, that's a great invitation because I'm always joking, especially over dinner, that I am going to make New Year's resolutions for people in my home. Like, little ones, could you stop eating with your hands? Could you use your utensils? Could people stop interrupting each other? So I would welcome the chance to make resolutions for my children. They don't seem to welcome it. But, we have in our diocese, teenagers are confirmed when they're juniors in high school, usually. And so we have one who's going through confirmation preparation right now. And I've been thinking a lot about how, when we think about that sacrament of receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, part of our job within a family, also within just the family of God that is a parish, that is a community, our job is to help each other see the gifts that God has given to each one of us. It's not always obvious, I think, especially for young people who are becoming who they are. So for kids and for teenagers and even young adults, for the adults in their life to say, hey, I noticed that about you. You're really good at that, or you have a real passion for that. Like, I have said that to my kids, and I will tag on to that. Maybe God is going to be calling you to do something with that. Like, you love this subject in school. Maybe you'll be a teacher in that, or maybe that'll be something you want to learn about all life long. So I often think that practice of noticing our kids' gifts and naming it to them, we can forget to do that in the busyness of daily life. But I think it can be a really powerful practice of bringing that sacrament of confirmation into all of our lives, So that's something I think can help us a lot with the kids we know and love.
I love that. And I also love thinking about that as a grown-up, right? Like that sense of embracing vocation differently or discerning your path. I loved hearing you talk about that because I know vocation is something I've read your pieces on before as well. And so thinking about what am I being called to do, or what am I prepared for now? Kind of
Yeah.
cool to think about that.
Absolutely. And to think about, the gifts that God gives are for the community. They're not just for us. So for
Right.
each other as adults to name that can help us say, hey, you might not be seeing this, but God has given you that gift for all of us. We need that.
Right, exactly. Laura, I know you have many hopes and dreams for the year ahead, but I understand you have a new book that is coming out from Ave Maria Press. Can you tell us a little bit about that book and what we might find there?
Yes, it's an Easter book. So I love the season of Easter, but it really struck me a few years ago that we don't have a lot of resources for Easter. So this is a book that goes through the 50 days of Easter with scripture and reflection and prayers to really help us deepen our experience of Easter. So it's called Living Easter, 50 Days to Practice Resurrection. And yeah, it'll be out this Lent for Easter, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, I can't wait to find it. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Laura, for being with us today as we look ahead to a new year and the opportunities it can bring for us to grow, especially spiritually. You can find out more about Laura and her work at laurakellyfinucci.com. Best wishes to all of you for a wonderful new year. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Rita Bittner. Thanks for listening.
You're probably not getting much church news in your daily newspaper or on your local TV station. The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. There are so many ways to stay in touch with the Catholic Review. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Catholic Review Media will inspire, teach, inform, and engage you wherever your faith takes you. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.